it's pretty much what I wanted when I arrived in Frankfurt, and it wasn't there. So all the information I wished I had access to, I have created Frankfurt Edit to essentially give that to those who've come after me, who are perhaps looking for the same sorts of things.
Herzlich willkommen bei Global Village 069, dem Podcast, der die internationale Vielfalt von Frankfurt am Main zelebriert. Hier spreche ich mit Frankfurterinnen und Frankfurtern, die ihre Wurzeln in einem anderen Land haben und die aus der kleinen Metropole am Main einen der großartigsten Melting Pots überhaupt machen. Ich bin Marie Wendling, eingefleischte Globetrotterin und Wahlfrankfurterin. Schön, dass ihr hier seid. Gude und how's it? Herzlich willkommen zu dieser Folge von Global Village 069, die Welt zu Hause in Frankfurt. Stellt euch einmal vor, ihr kommt als Expat neu nach Frankfurt und ihr sprecht dann vielleicht noch kein Deutsch, ihr kennt die vielen geschriebenen und vor allem die ganzen ungeschriebenen Gesetze des Alltags hier noch nicht und ihr habt auch überhaupt keine Ahnung, wie ihr an die Infos kommen sollt, um das Leben in und um Frankfurt zu genießen. Wäre es da nicht schön, wenn es einen englischsprachigen Freund an eurer Seite gäbe, der euch all diese Fragen beantwortet? Die gute Nachricht ist, es gibt diesen Freund und er heißt The Frankfurt Edit. The Frankfurt Edit ist ein englischsprachiger Blog, dem ich selbst seit einigen Jahren wirklich mit Begeisterung folge, weil er immer wieder richtig neue und richtig coole Tipps bietet, um unsere Stadt und das Umland zu entdecken. Aber auch für den Alltag ist eine echte Hilfestellung für Neuankömmlinge. Und darum war die Bloggerin hinter The Frankfurt Edit für mich schon lange auf der Wunschliste für diesen Podcast und ich freue mich wirklich sehr, dass sie heute meine Gästin ist, die wunderbare Janice Henry. Janice ist in Südafrika geboren und aufgewachsen und nach mehrjährigen Zwischenstopps in London und Indien schließlich im Rhein-Main-Gebiet gelandet. Wir sprechen über ihre Motivation hinter The Frankfurt Edit, warum Frankfurt ein größerer Kulturschock als Indien für sie war und darüber, was sie an unserer Stadt liebt. Bleibt auch auf jeden Fall bis ganz zum Ende der Folge dran, denn dann gibt es noch einen Spezialtipp, wie ihr Südafrika hier in der Region entdecken könnt. Ach ja, und wie ihr bereits am Anfangszitat gehört habt, unser Gespräch findet dieses Mal auf Englisch statt. Okay, fast genug gebabbelt. Bevor wir von Janice hören, kommt hier
der Ländersteckbrief.
Republik Südafrika.
Einwohnerzahl
63 Millionen.
Landessprache.
Südafrika hat sage und schreibe 12 Amtssprachen. Die da lauten Englisch, Afrikaans, IsiZulu, Siswati, Südndebele, Sesotho, Nordsotho, Xitsonga, Setswana, Tshivenda, IsiXhosa und seit Juli 2023 auch Gebärdensprache. Diese Sprachen sind zwar alle vor dem Gesetz gleichberechtigt, allerdings hat sich Englisch als führende Verkehrssprache herausgebildet.
Hauptstadt.
Südafrika hat nicht nur viele Amtssprachen, es hat auch mehrere Hauptstädte, nämlich 3. Der Regierungssitz ist in Pretoria, das Parlament in Kapstadt und das oberste Berufungsgericht in Bloemfontein. Die größte Stadt sind sie aber alle nicht, das ist nämlich Johannesburg mit über 5 Millionen EinwohnerInnen.
Gut zu wissen.
WeinliebhaberInnen, aufgepasst. In Südafrika findet ihr die längste Weinroute der Welt mit ganzen 850 Kilometern Länge. Zum Vergleich, die deutsche Weinstraße in der Pfalz ist 85 Kilometer lang, also nur ein Zehntel so viel.
Das Sprichwort.
In South Africa, you can often say, oh, I'll do it just now, or I'll see you now. And essentially, that means any time from now until the very distant future. So it's sort of a non-committal way of putting something aside until you feel like it's time.
Entfernung von Frankfurt.
Luftlinie sind es 9080 Kilometer bis nach Pretoria.
Unterwegs in Frankfurt
sind laut Statistik 209 Menschen mit südafrikanischer Staatsangehörigkeit. Und jetzt viel Spaß beim Gespräch mit Janice.
Welcome to Global Village 069, Janice. Hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for inviting me. What a treat.
Well, it is a treat. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and for having me over at your place as well. So that's really kind. Thank you.
Like I said, don't look too closely at the sofa. Two little boys live here too.
No, I assure you, like, there's two adults living in my place, me and my husband. And as I said, if it makes you feel better, I'll send you pictures of my sofa afterwards. And, you know, you'll feel a lot better about it. So, Janice, you're the founder, the mastermind, the editor, the writer behind The Frankfurt Edit, which is an English-speaking blog all about Frankfurt. And it's the guide to cool Frankfurt, as you put it, which I want to chat about later as well a bit more. But can you explain to start with what is the idea behind the Frankfurt Edit? What is it?
Well, essentially, it should almost be a bit like your first friend in Frankfurt. So any of the information, whether you're visiting for a weekend or you've moved here, it's kind of just helping you guide along where to have coffee, because caffeine's important. If you're looking for a restaurant, basic do's and don'ts, you know, those who come from driving on the right-hand side, you know, understanding the German roads. I mean, literally, when you arrive, make sure you register with a pediatrician. It's pretty much what I wanted when I arrived in Frankfurt, and it wasn't there. So all the information I wished I had access to, I have created Frankfurt Edit to essentially give that to those who've come after me, who are perhaps looking for the same sorts of things. Initially, it was focused on those living in Frankfurt, but as it sort of evolved, I found it's a huge reference for tourists as well. So many are looking for things to do in Frankfurt. So it's become a happy place for tourists, expats, locals who've lived here as well all their lives. Sometimes you get stuck in a comfort zone and you don't necessarily venture out of it. So, you know, looking for new things to do. Of course, it is in English because, well, my German isn't terribly fantastic yet. But it's still, funnily enough, got a fairly large German following too, which is cool as well, I think. So,
I mean, I'm surely one of your followers because I'm definitely one of those people that kind of stick within their comfort zone once I've found, you know, my favorite coffee places, my favorite restaurants. And then I keep going to those places over and over again because I'm a creature of habit, like many of us are. And I came across the Frankfurt Edit because I was so impressed with, you know, all the tips and hints and new places that I could discover. And then one thing that really impressed me, or even impressed me even more as I also prepared for the interview, is that it's not just restaurants or day trips or coffee spots. But like you said, it's very much your one-stop shop for anyone who's trying to understand Frankfurt life. So there's so many different sections there. Can you tell me a bit more about like what kind of different sections there are, what kind of like categories you're trying to cover there?
So one of the things as well that I really want to do is highlight small businesses too. So it's, for instance, you know, interior design shops. And, you know, we all know we can go shop at IKEA when you're somewhere, but you don't really want to, you know. So it's like finding all the small businesses that do things like that. You've got the arts and culture, they're gorgeous galleries. The theaters are amazing as well. So we have that aspect. There's wine tours. There is your big touristy top 10 that you obviously, if you're visiting, would check out. It's also trying to find not the most obvious, because often when we visit a city, everybody does the exact same thing. So it's also, from my perspective, trying to find hidden spots and hidden things where For instance, there's a restaurant where you can go and have a Frankfurt Spritz, which is using the seven herbs, which have been infused into a syrup, which is then used in Spritz, which is absolutely delicious. So it's Wissenraum. You can go and have that. And so giving insights into the culture, not just the city, because invariably when you visit a city or a country, it's about understanding or knowing what they eat, what they drink, how people are, and sort of trying to infuse yourself a little bit into the culture. And unless you step out of your comfort zone, sometimes you don't always see that. You sort of tick the boxes of course, we go to Roma, the Eisner Steg, maybe you go up the big tower, mine tower, and that sort of thing. But if you head out and you see Goethe-Turm out in Sachsenhausen as well, you see the skyline from a different angle. If you go to Gerbermüller, you see the skyline from a different If you go to Usten, which is another cafe, you see this. There are just so many different ways to see things, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the same way that everybody else has seen it. So those are the kinds of tips and things that I like to do, and specifically then focusing on small businesses and trying to promote cool ideas and, you know, uplift each other, because we're all figuring this entrepreneur thing out as we go along. Well, maybe some less so than me flying by the seat of my pants. But
from the entrepreneur friends that I have, I think it's the same for everybody. Yeah.
So it's a lifestyle guide. So all the things to have a fulfilling time in Frankfurt, which isn't necessarily always on everybody's bucket list, but there's plenty of cool things in Frankfurt, if you know where to look, which as an English speaker was really difficult to find any information in English. And that's obviously one of the reasons as well that I did it, because finding information in English was far more challenging than I expected.
Yeah.
When we moved, we were told, or I was told, it's very international. Everybody speaks English. And to an extent, absolutely. Head to a museum or anything. There's not always the sub in English, which as an arrogant or naive English speaker, you sort of like, what? Or the ingredients on the back of something you're buying in the supermarket. It's not in English, which fair enough. I'm living in Germany, but it was a unexpected hurdle that I had to figure out how to get over. So instead of struggling for others, as I discovered the information, I just share it and I get to meet cool people while I do it. Well, so, yeah.
That really struck me as well, because you said you moved to Frankfurt in 2018, was
yeah,
it?
At the end.
And you made such a good point when we spoke previously, that with Frankfurt, all of the cool places are there, but it's quite cliquey and you have to know where to look. Like the cool places are not obvious, maybe like in, they might be in Berlin or in other places where you've lived abroad previously, which we'll talk about in a minute. But I found that very interesting, that, and I completely agree, being in, you know, having moved to Frankfurt in 2018 myself, that it takes a while to find those hidden gems, because they are indeed quite hidden.
And a lot of the information dissemination is, okay, fine, these days you find a lot of on Instagram. If you don't spend an enormous amount of time on a lot of information here in Frankfurt, the cool restaurants and bars and whatever, they share information through that. But if you don't know what any of them are or the parties that are happening, there isn't somewhere a website necessarily that breaks it all down for you. So you have to take time figuring it all out before you know. And if you're somebody who can't be bothered, you know, many people then just sit at home and perhaps don't venture out, or life is a little bit more challenging and a little bit more difficult when you move to a new city. Those visiting, of course, have got different priorities, but those who move to live here Germany, I found so much more difficult to adjust to than when we moved from London to India. And it was so counterintuitive. You just imagine coming back towards the West, to Europe, that it should be fairly easy. But it's the nuances. You know, India is completely different than where you were. You expect, though, that Germany would be more in line with things that you know. And absolutely, in many ways, of course, there are similarities. But the nuances are what sometimes make it really difficult. So the way feedback is given, or, you know, it can come across as rude, where often people are trying to help you. It's how it's delivered. You move into a house and people move with their kitchens, you know, and you're like, what? It doesn't have a kitchen? I'm sorry. Well, I didn't bring mine along with me. So, oh, and there are absolutely no lights. Fantastic. So it's all these sorts of things, which are all a bit of a shock. And unlike what you're used to, the medical system as well, each place that South Africa versus London versus India versus Germany, all completely different in their approach to how health is managed, talking doctors and things like that. So everything in the UK is done through your GP. You have to be referred from that point. In India, everything is private. In Germany, actually, you do need to get a pediatrician, and it isn't through your GP, which I then learned the hard way, because with my youngest, I missed one of his checkups. And you get a letter in the mail, all in German, and not basic German, from the Gesundheitsamt or whoever it is. And so you call the helpline, sprechen Sie English? And they say, nein, and refuse to try and help you. And you're sort of like, okay, so now what do I do? Are they going to take my children away? I'm not sure what the next step is. So even though we had a relocation agent, she helped in certain aspects, but those sorts of things I would have found helpful. She helped us find a house, but it was her who was like, where do you want to live? And it's like, well, I don't know where I want to live. What are the areas like? Which is why there's a section on the website dedicated to the neighborhoods, to sort of give a brief overview. And then within each neighborhood, you can sort of find coffee shops and things within that neighborhood. Just to give you a little bit of a feel of the personality and vibe of each place, because it is different depending on what you're looking for. So where we landed up living initially was not somewhere that I would have chosen, but we'd lost a flat previously where it was like, in our view, almost a given. And we were like, okay, great, we've gotten. And then suddenly like, sorry, no. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what? So there are just a lot of things that are not straightforward. And unless somebody tells you, you just don't know. And Germany, in my opinion as well, everyone thinks is very black and white and rules and rules and rules. And to an extent they are, but there are many gray areas. And it's as a local or somebody who's lived here your whole life that you know which of the rules are only going to get you a 10 euro fine versus you're going to be carted off to jail, you know, sort of.
Yeah.
So it's, and they will, parking, people love to bend the rules here. We'll just sort of park wherever we want, sort of thing. So it's trying to provide an insight from my perspective, my opinion, obviously, that's the whole thing is from my perspective and opinion. It's not God's word or, you know, but it's from my experience and just hopefully helping others not to have to suffer the same mistakes if they read something and realize, okay, great, I need to register for a pediatrician. Each of these neighborhoods are like this, Nord End versus West End versus Sachsenhausen versus living slightly outside the city. You know, depending on what works for you and your family, You can have a jumping off point. It doesn't have everything, of course, but it serves as your first insight, I would say, and give you something to go on, somewhere to start, I suppose.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it's both kind of helping people kind of find their footing here. Like, I think whenever you move to a new city, and particularly to a new country, you will not know the nuances. You will not know the unwritten rules. And I totally agree. It's so hard to find out about these. And then also what I love about the Frankfurt Edit is you're providing information for people who are, you know, expats, young professionals who are mostly interested in, I don't know, going for, you know, nice meals, shopping, cocktails, what have you. You're also providing a lot of information for families. And then one of the things I love about Frankfurt is the variety within the different quarters, and that it is so multifaceted and varied depending on whether you're in Ostend, Westend, Sachsenhausen, wherever. And you've got such a good eye for those nuances. Like, your observations, I find, are so on point and so spot on. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. This is what it's like. So you've got a great way of kind of picking out what's important and what nuances people normally would miss, and putting that on the blog.
Well, that's very kind. I mean, and like I said, everything is obviously my opinion. So anything I put on there, like restaurants, I will have eaten there as well, mm-hmm. because you can't say go here if you've never been there. So, yeah, that's nice to hear. And every now and then when you wonder, oh, do I keep going? And somebody will come up to you and say, oh, thank you, this was so helpful. And you're like, yeah, that's why I keep doing this. Yeah, it's nice to hear. And as you said, Frankfurt is so small too. So this last week I was in London again for a bit, and it just drives home again how tiny, in a good way. So Frankfurt is big enough to feel like a city, but small enough that it's pretty much like a town, and you can get across the city in like 25 minutes without traffic. And that means everything's accessible. You can always get to most things. So most parties, and also, unlike London, if you miss the last train, it doesn't cost you $500 million for a taxi ride either, because of the fact that it's quite small. So Frankfurt, if you look, there's plenty. If you don't, well, then that's on you, which you choose to make the best of wherever, well, I certainly choose to make the best of wherever I land. Yeah, they're bad days, but that's true of anywhere you live.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And you're providing great service with the Frankfurt Edit to locals and to people coming here to visit or to stay here. Do you have, because, you know, you have the blog, you have your social media presence. Do you have any plans for the Frankfurt Edit? Will you keep going? Is there anything you want to focus on in the future?
Well, it's just to keep going in the same vein. Of course, as I've seen more and more tourists, it's trying to find that happy medium of serving the people that use it and the information that's on there. So it's just, we'll keep going and hopefully growing and allowing the team to grow and things like that. But on the whole, it serves me as well, because I enjoy if it helps people. That is one of the things that make it worthwhile, is when it's been helpful to somebody, particularly if it could have been that much more difficult without it. So, yeah, we're going to keep going in the same vein, hopefully grow and reach more people and let more people find out about it. So, yeah, we keep going until we have no energy left, I suppose. And no places to visit, which I doubt, because they just open at an alarming rate.
Right? I know. I feel like, because I've got a subscription to a Frankfurt Journal and I cannot keep up at all.
And then one's closed and it's but it's fun. It's never dull, I suppose.
Yes, yes. And so where could people find it? Like, so you're online on...
Yeah, so the website, obviously, thefrankfurtedit.com. And then you can find the profile on at the Frankfurt Edit on Instagram and on Facebook. I'm also on Twitter, but there's not much that goes on Twitter. So, I mean, not Twitter, X. Sorry, excuse me. On X. That's how much I use it. So, yeah, that wouldn't be my first stop, but yeah.
Fantastic. And I really recommend people follow you because, like I said, even for locals, there's so much lovely information on theatre productions, coffee places, which I'm really interested in, and restaurants, etc., and day trips. So everybody, make sure you follow Janice.
Not on X.
Not on X. Except for X, but everywhere else.
Yes.
Oh, great. So that's the Frankfurt Edit. If you don't mind, I'd love to chat about you a bit because you are a South African native. Can you tell us a bit about that? Where in South Africa are you from? Kind of like, what's your background there? What was life there like?
Yes. So very much a South African native. Haven't lived there for a long time, though. But I grew up in the Eastern Cape. My parents are still there, and they farm, and literally in the middle of nowhere. So if you're ever looking for it, you'd fly either into Johannesburg or Durban. Then you'd fly to East London and then drive 3.5 hours inland, and then you'll find where my parents live. So literally the middle of nowhere. It's beautiful. It really is an extraordinary part of the country and sublimely gorgeous, the mountains, the landscape. But it's not that easy to get to. So that's where I grew up. I went to school in the Eastern Cape. And then after I matriculated, which is like the end of your A-levels, I went to Stellenbosch. I studied at the University of Stellenbosch and I did accounting. And then after that, I left South Africa, actually, and went to London because it was time to see the world, I suppose. So even now, South Africa to me is one of the places I really recommend everybody visit. It's just the most wonderful holiday. There are so many different aspects to South Africa, so many different cultures. We've got, don't quote me on this, but like 14 or 15 official languages. So like South Africa is extraordinarily diverse and different vegetation and all those sorts of things. So, I mean, everybody knows about Cape Town and the Garden Route, but there's the Karoo. There's obviously Durban, which is quite tropical. There's the surrounding areas of Johannesburg. I mean, Johannesburg is just like a metropolitan, but there is so much to see and do in South Africa. I probably won't live there again. However, I will be going on many holidays there. So anybody out there, it's definitely worth a holiday. Safaris and all the like, it's just amazing. And then, like I said, after university, I moved to London and I was just going to go for 2 years and I ended up staying there for 12. Mm-hmm. And then I met my husband in London. I had my two little boys in London. And then when they were 2 and 8 months, we moved to India. And then we moved to India for 2 years and lived there for 4. Mm. And then after that, we moved to Germany, which was sort of like 2 years. And we've now been here for almost 6. So
it's a recurring theme.
There's no rigidity in the way we view things. It's sort of like, yeah, as things, if things are good, then, you know, we continue. And it's been a wonderful opportunity to explore very different cultures as well. So I don't know, perhaps India was easier on me, and my husband's also South African, in that perhaps there's some of that chaos in Africa, but totally as well, like foreign to anything I'd known before. It was like the first country I'd lived in that wasn't Christianity dominant as the faith. Then coming to Germany again, as I said, culturally expecting similar things to what I'd experienced before, and finding that it was a bit more difficult and totally underestimating speaking the language. And of course, when you move somewhere, you should try to integrate to some extent, and learning the language should be a priority. It's just not something that happens in a day. So yeah, it's certainly been fun. It's been eye-opening. It's been a wonderful way to meet many different people, experience many different things. Because, for instance, Germany was never a place on my list that I wanted to live, or, you know, and Germany is extraordinarily beautiful as well and has so much to offer. And I feel like it's still an unknown place to many in terms of on the list of places to visit. You've got Italy and Spain and France and, of course, all these things around, but Germany is often overlooked, and it's huge as well, and so many different parts of Germany and different cultures. And you suddenly realize as well, even in governance, how one area has different rules to the next. So, I mean, vastly different. And that's been interesting too. So
for sure. I so relate, because I always say that moving to Berlin, because I went to university in Berlin, but I'm from near Düsseldorf. And I always say that moving to Berlin, that was the biggest culture shock of my life. And I've lived in the US, in Italy, in London as well. So we have that in common. But I feel like one thing you said about moving with the kitchen earlier on, in Berlin, the standard is different compared to Frankfurt. Like the kitchens that you will find in an empty flat in Berlin, they have, God, I don't remember exactly what appliances they have there, but it's different compared to here, which is just mental. But it's, yeah, that's the reality. Yeah.
And Hessen rules, you know, COVID was another one of those things where the rules were different depending on which state you were in. So,
yeah, totally. And, but I wanted to ask a bit about London and India in particular as well, because London, as I said, you know, we share that experience. We might even have crossed paths in London, because
I think we did, didn't we? In terms of timing, I think.
I think so. And we both lived in South London as well.
Yeah.
So maybe we met on the tube or in the pub. Who knows?
Maybe this
is a reunion. Who knows?
There were times, yes, in London, I was very young and perhaps don't remember everything. So, yeah, I think that's also one of the beauties about London. London is also a city for every part of your life. So I was there just out of university, single on my own, so much fun. Then I got married, and as a couple, it was amazing. There were so many different things to do as a couple. And then having children, so many things to do with your kids and places that are catering to that, which Frankfurt is still not on that level at all. And London is still one of my favorite places to go. In India, I love Bombay. So Mumbai is such a cool city, crazy, huge, or whatever. Bombay and Varanasi, but so vastly different as well, you know? So, yeah, India, I loved India as well. India is one of those places, though, that you have to choose to embrace it, because the energy, if I can, not everybody talks in these, but the energy is extraordinary. So if you are willing and open, you will just have the most phenomenal time. If you are not, it will break you and you will just hate it. If you also expect everything to go in a straight line, you will be bitterly disappointed. And it will be hard. No, but the color, the people, the festivals. That's another thing, actually, like about Germany, which is for me unusual. They have so many amazing festivals. Like there's always, obviously, a different kind of festival to how it happens in India. But actually, that's a similarity where it's like embracing every season and all these kinds of things. So in India, large, large celebrations, obviously, for with the Hindu faith, there's so many different gods. And then obviously Muslim as well. And there's the section of Christianity. But the Hindu festivals and the drumming and, yeah, the chaos. But in a good way, I'm talking, it was amazing. And I will be forever grateful having lived there. We luckily, though, moved to Germany before COVID, because I think COVID in India would have been very difficult. I had some friends who were still there, and it wasn't a terribly fun experience.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then Germany. Yeah. Yeah. So all quite different.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But oh, for all... sure. And then India, I understand that you picked up some new, not just life skills, but like your life took a, well, I don't want to say a different turn, but like you started yoga there and photography and writing. So all of that happened in India, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, funny how things happen. I mean, I studied accounting at university and then worked in banking in London for many years. And then obviously we moved to India because of my husband's job, and I was like, great, let's go. And yeah, I'd tried yoga while in London and really hadn't liked it particularly much. But I was like, wow, you know, I'm in India, like yoga, this is where it's from. Best you try it. And I found my version that I loved. And so, yeah, I did my training there. More because I wanted to be able to practice on my own. But I then started teaching and really enjoyed teaching. So I got to have that new dynamic. And I'd always loved photography, but in India, I really got to indulge it on so many levels and the places that we visited. So, and then writing about experiences and finding that I really quite liked writing. It was, my mum always said to me, oh, you're so creative. But, you know, the way we grew up, I was like, well, I can't sing, I can't paint, and I can't play an instrument. So that was always the idea of what creativity is. But obviously, as we know now, it's so much bigger than that. And so I found my creative side and the things that really resonated with me. And so from there, taking those skills, when we moved to Germany, I've fully embraced and just grown those skills. So yeah, the writing, and at one stage, all the places that I would go and see for TFE, I would photograph, but it just took too much to be photographing, editing, and all of that. So I sort of put that aside. Now it's again just on a much smaller scale. But yeah, India gave me many gifts, and those are amongst three things that I will be forever grateful. So, yeah. And then Germany, I mean, I've started trying to do my own business. So, you know, everything, each place has its role in our journey of life. I mean, that sounds so...
I so agree. No, but it's true. I totally agree and I totally relate. And the beautiful thing is that you've taken the gifts that India has given you with the yoga and the writing and the photography, and you're kind of paying it forward here and putting it to really good use. So because obviously with the writing and also photography, you know, you're using that in the Frankfurt Edit, but then you also teach yoga here, right?
Yeah, I love teaching, actually. I do, however, teach in English, because as we mentioned, my German is not that good. But yeah, there's a certain energy when you are in a group of people. I teach privately and I teach groups, but something that I found when it was COVID, I was trying to teach a little bit online and I just didn't enjoy that. It's sort of like that exchange you have with each other when you are in the same place. So, yeah, so I do that. My kids are always like, Mom, how many jobs do you have? And I'm like, well, yes. I do a few things. Never bored. So the group class, since we moved outside of Frankfurt towards the end of last year, which was also something I never thought I'd want to do, but I loved moving to Bad Soden. And so now I get to teach here in a gorgeous little studio. Yeah. And feeds my soul.
Beautiful. Beautiful. It's like a win-win, you know, feeding the soul of others, but then also getting something out of it for yourself. You mentioned your mother earlier who said, you know, you were very creative. You didn't quite see that yet, but now obviously, you know, it's really obvious. And when we first spoke in preparation for this interview, we talked about where your sense of adventure comes from.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You attributed that to your mum or like your family background as well.
Yeah. My mum was a little bit ahead of her time in terms of, I mean, when I eventually went traveling after university, many South Africans were doing that. But when my mum was young and a similar age, not that many people, it wasn't something that everybody did. So yeah, she got on a boat for like a month or whatever it was, where they had to cross all the way to the UK. And she traveled and lived abroad, I think it was a year or two as well. She was qualified as a nurse already, and so also nursing and then traveling within and around Europe. So definitely I got my itchy feet, I think, from her. My dad's not the same. But yeah, my mum very much was that independent human who, as well in a time where many of the wives stayed at home, she was like, sorry, no, I'm going back to work. My dad was like, really? I was like, yes. And so, yeah, definitely, I think that side I get from her.
That's where it comes from. Amazing. So now I would love to chat a bit about Frankfurt and your relationship to the city today, because you said it was tricky kind of, you know, finding out about the nuances and where the cool places are in Frankfurt. But now you're kind of the expert and you write about it. I think you are, for sure.
I know. I mean, I think expert's a big word. It's sort of like I share what I find. Yeah, so.
What do you particularly enjoy about Frankfurt or maybe about Germany? Because you mentioned the festivals earlier and how we share that with Indian culture. And funnily enough, this is something that my British mother-in-law also mentioned when I interviewed her for the podcast. So is there anything else where you're like, oh, this is something that I've found here that I really enjoy?
I think one of the most amazing things as well about Frankfurt is how central it is. So it's in every direction, 3.5 hours, and you can kind of be in a different country. So you can explore within Frankfurt just as much as you can explore outside, because Frankfurt, as we were saying earlier, is just so small. So you can kind of go to all the festivals that are fun to do and get home. But at the same time, you can get in your car and explore mainland Europe, which living in London wasn't something you could really do. I mean, of course, you have, but everything took a whole lot more planning, and the Eurostar, that's what it's called, right?
Yes, yeah.
So you're like, yeah, all those sorts of things, but it's all takes a whole lot more planning, and that's into France. So for me, I think my kids have had the benefit of being able to ski often. So they learned to ski quickly because we could go more than once a season, because it was easy to pop away for a weekend more often than in London. It was always a big planning. You'd have to go for a whole week or 2 weeks, and that was it for the season. So from that perspective, the things you can explore around Frankfurt are just as easily accessible as those almost inside. It is funny though, because Germans will say, oh, 3.5 hours, that's so far. Everybody in Germany seems to think driving longer than 3 hours or whatever is like hours and hours. When I grew up, like 12 hours, we'd drive for holidays and things. So for me, like road tripping, and I drove to the south of France for 12 hours with my two kids and my husband couldn't come. So it's like, oh, it's good. Drove 6 hours. We spent the night and then drove the next six. So really it is like the world is your oyster here, and you just pack it into your car and off you go. So to me, that is one of the biggest pluses as well for Frankfurt, is how central it is to plenty in Germany and then all the surrounding countries as well. So I really, really appreciate that. Frankfurt as well, which is interesting, is all the Freibads. So when you get incredibly hot during the summer, there's somewhere you can go and cool off. In places like London, there was like one or two. There were 5 billion people queuing on the day that was beautiful. So there was absolutely no way when those days were extremely hot for you to be able to cool down. Lying in a hot park is great, but there's no way of cooling down afterwards. So that is an interesting thing here, where there are just so many of them, and they're lovely. So you don't pay very much. They're all around the city, so it's not that you can't get into any of them. So that makes summertime slightly easier and more bearable. What are the other things about Frankfurt? What are your favorite things about Frankfurt?
I love, so as a German, So first of all, having lived in London, exactly like you, I appreciate the small size. I love being able to get across town within like 20 minutes, 30 minutes. So I lived in London before, and before that I lived in Berlin. It was kind of the same situation where my best friend moved from Mönchengladbach to Berlin as well, a year after me. And she and I were living in opposite parts of Berlin, still kind of like centrally, but opposite parts. And it would take me an hour and a half door to door. Whereas now within an hour and a half, like you said, I'm in France, or, you know, like I can explore like a much bigger area. And then the other thing is, obviously the international diversity. Well, I find, you know, London obviously had that in spades, but I find in Frankfurt, if you know, you know, it is this melting pot. And then the last thing that I really love about it, and that I find differs from other places in Germany for sure, is that the citizens of Frankfurt really kind of take care of their city. So like, almost like political or societal commitment. I feel like people are much quicker to kind of say protect buildings that are at risk of being torn down, or they're quite ready to go to, like, you know, political rallies when they relate to, you know, political issues, large and small. So I find that there's this big culture of, we have responsibilities as citizens and we kind of take that seriously. And that definitely differs from other places within Germany that I've lived.
That's so interesting, because actually we joined the tennis club, and one of the things that you have to do is each member has to do like 3 hours of, I don't know if it's 3 hours or something like this, of service for the for the tennis club, where you have to go and help with, I don't know. And I was like, what? Okay. But it is. And actually, you say taking care of, but that was one of the things that I found quite striking here as well, is that community-oriented things. We went down, there was a local Elvis impersonator or whatever it was. He was pretty good. He didn't look terribly much like Elvis, but I mean, he had the whole gear on and everything, but I would say he'd eaten a few too many currywurst. there were just all these 70 to 80-year-olds all there that had been come out, you know, and they were all just having a beer or a Schola or something. And then I think by 10, everything closes up and everybody goes home. But that kind of community oriented, and that particularly when we talk about older generations of being able to connect with each other, because I think it can be very lonely. So that I thought was really lovely. And so it's an interesting thing that I'm going to look out for more as well, as you say that you give back to your, and actually, as we talk now, it's so many Frankfurters as well that I've met who have explored the world, like gone to Los Angeles or New York or whatever it is, and they wanted to come back and they want the things that they miss from wherever it is that they want to bring it to their city. So it's not like, oh, actually, we want to actually move back to LA. No, we want to be in Frankfurt, but we want to bring these certain things. So there is definitely that sense of everybody comes back and many people are born, raised and live here there forever and ever. So yeah, that's, there must be something in the water, right? So yeah, there are definitely many, many positives.
Mm. What you just said, that's a perfect segue to my last question, actually. So because you are a true citizen of the world, you're South African native, having lived in London, having lived in India, when you get, well, homesick for those places, so to speak, do you have any favorite spots that you seek out, I don't know, culturally, food wise, wine wise, whatever it is?
A good Sauvignon Blanc. Although I've come to appreciate the Riesling. That's so funny because actually in South Africa, Riesling, when particularly when I was at like university, Riesling was the most revolting wine.
Was it?
Yeah. I don't know. At that it obviously wasn't the right place to grow it, or they just didn't know what they were doing. And so when I got to Germany and it was suddenly like Riesling's the thing, I was like, well, I have to say there are many delicious Rieslings, but I do love me a Sauvignon Blanc and South African red. South African red wine, it's hard to beat that. So if you get yourself to a specialty wine store and you try any of, well, I love Cabernet Sauvignon and like a Merlot.
Same.
So those, South Africa, yeah. That is one of the things I do miss, and biltong. So biltong is a bit like beef jerky, but not. But if you're trying to understand what that is, and yeah. I think, you say I'm an expert, but in actual fact, I haven't found the South African shop here, which I'm sure there is one. But yeah, I tend to wait for wonderful people who come back from my shores that I grew up on, and they bring me a bottle of red or some biltong, and that makes me very happy. My kids love rusks. That as well. So, and those come from the African shores. So, yeah.
What are rusks?
So, rusks are a biscotti, except it's not a biscotti, but it's like a dried, almost.
Is it zwieback? Is that what it is? Zwieback, like the very dry white bread, almost like.
Sort of, yeah. And often you will dunk it in your tea or whatever it is. So, but they're dense enough that it doesn't then just fall apart, sort of thing.
Okay.
But yeah.
So not like zwieback.
But when you said white, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, and Omar rusks are, there's a town very near to where I grew up and my aunt lives there still. Maltino, and that is the home of Omar rusks and where they come from. So, yeah, rusks are kind of like hard biscotti, not as sweet as like biscotti,
yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, excellent. So if anyone's listening, and if you're thinking about opening a South African shop or Biltong, Rusts and Cabernet Sauvignon, and Jen, as you're all about supporting the small businesses.
Exactly.
Get in touch. Do it.
Yeah. And if there are any businesses out there as well that I don't know about yet that are doing cool, exciting things, I'd love to hear from you as well. So yeah, I'm always looking for new things to get the word out on, and yeah.
So. Excellent. It's all about supporting one another.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Janice, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Really loved it.
Thank you for having me. I was very nervous in the beginning, but actually it was not so bad.
Oh, thank you.
Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören und dranbleiben bis hierhin. Ich hatte euch ja noch einen Spezialtipp zu Südafrika hier in der Region versprochen und hier kommt er. Es gibt zwar, wie ihr gehört habt, in Frankfurt noch keinen Südafrika-Shop, aber wenn ihr die, in Anführungszeichen, weite Reise nach Mainz nicht scheut, dann findet ihr dort in der Altstadt The Cape House mit jede Menge Wein, Delikatessen und Dekor aus Genesis Herkunftsland. Den Link zum Shop und natürlich den Link zu The Frankfurt Edit gibt es in den Shownotes und auf www.globalvillage069.de. Und wie immer findet ihr dort auch die schriftliche kurze Zusammenfassung der Folge, dieses Mal auf Deutsch und Englisch, für alle, die dem Gespräch auf Deutsch noch nicht so gut folgen können. Wie immer würde ich mich auch riesig freuen, wenn ihr diesen Podcast weiterempfehlt, ihn abonniert und ihm eine 5-Sterne-Bewertung auf eurer Plattform dalasst, wo ihr den Podcast hört. Das hilft nämlich wirklich sehr dabei, dass auch andere auf Global Village 069 aufmerksam werden und mit uns auf Weltreise durch Frankfurt kommen. Vielen lieben Dank und bis zum nächsten Mal.